Roto-Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up-to-the-minute industry news, interviews from the biggest names in the industry, and game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll. Here's your host, the man with the best beard in Daily Fantasy, Crazy Gaby.
Howdy, folks. What is going on? As the voice said, I am Crazy Gaby, and I'm hanging out here today, actually, solo. I am by myself. Big Italy had a little bit of business to tend to, and it worked out perfectly, actually, because I have somebody to join me a little later here on the podcast. In fact, we recorded a segment last night. Joe Watson. You might know him from the FanDuel commercials. He is one of the newest contributors here at Roto-Grinders, and we're going to do a little bit of a meet and greet, get his story, catch his drift, so to speak. And he's going to talk a little bit of daily fantasy NFL with us. We're going to go over a lineup that he likes for this week, maybe some contrarian plays he might be down with, and just get his thoughts and pick his brain on a few of the NFL happenings. Seemed appropriate, seeing as this is a Thursday, very little NBA action, and we have the Thursday night early lock contest kicking off this evening. Before we get to that, we got a little bit of housekeeping to tend to, the first of which is thanking FanDuel, our sponsor, very much for allowing us to continue doing this podcast every day. We love playing at FanDuel. It is my number one place to play. It's where I play most of my volume at. There's just more users there, and there's more opportunity there, and the guarantees are huge there. Just everything about them, we appreciate what they do for this industry. And speaking of FanDuel, Mick Jester of Guaranteed Prize Pool Multi-Entry fame had himself an evening in the $25 slam last night. Took down first through eighth place, I believe. I don't have the graphic up here in front of me or the link, but I do believe it was something ridiculous, like first through eighth place. The guy just completely continues to dominate the NBA scene, and we've seen it for multiple seasons now. This is no fluke. This is probably the best multi-entry NBA player in existence. So if you get a chance to stop by Twitter, drop him a line, tell him congratulations, and study his lineups each night, because there's a lot you could learn from the way this guy constructs his rosters. Also want to tell you guys about a contest happening at FanDuel. The big old King of the Campus, $500,000 in NCAA fantasy football prizes. This is an absolutely enormous tournament by college fantasy football standards. And look, it's a $200 direct buy-in, so maybe it's a little unattainable for some of you, but there are qualifiers running every single day for as low as $2. You can win your way into the King of the Campus tournament, where first place is going to get $100,000, and that happens December 29th through January 2nd. So happens right during bowl season, and like I always say, this is basically the equivalent of March Madness. You got tons of brackets during March Madness for college basketball, and you know, we don't quite have as much wagering invested in the bowl season usually, but this is a good way to sort of replicate that March Madness experience. Instead of waiting until the spring, though, you get to do it in the winter. I think it's a pretty cool idea, so make sure you try and qualify for the FanDuel $500,000 King of the Campus tournament this week. I am not going to cut to a break to talk about today's basketball game, simply because there's no point. We only have a couple of them. Not really a whole lot as far as thoughts are concerned, especially with the first game, which is Oklahoma City taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's a 204-point over-under. It's a close spread, -2.5 for Oklahoma City. The problem here, though, is on a two-game slate without a whole lot of value to be rostered, it is going to be exceedingly difficult to play one of, let alone multiple players from this game that are actually relevant. And what I mean by that is, you know, LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant are all players with exceedingly high salaries. It's very difficult to fit them in your lineup on a regular night. A night like tonight, very difficult. I would be surprised, very surprised, if someone was able to show me a roster with three of these players on it. I don't even know if that would be possible. I haven't tried to build one yet. And two probably dilutes a couple of other positions and keeps you from playing anything resembling a high upside punt in those spots. Basically, the name of the game here, though, is you just got to try to hit on the bare minimum value plays. And so, you know, what are we looking for? We're looking for guys that get minutes. So, you know, we've got potentially Steven Adams, even though his minutes have been dwindling a little bit recently. We've got guys like Sean Marion, unfortunately, you know, not the best name, the biggest name that we're looking for. We got guys like Tristan Thompson, who can put up a big night every now and then. And then for Houston at Sacramento, if I had to choose one player, actually, that I was going to play on this slate, interestingly enough, it would not come from the Cleveland-Oklahoma City game. I would be taking James Harden. Even though this is a 196.5-point over-under, the spread is -1 for Houston, and James Harden just continues to be a phenomenal workhorse. I would keep an eye out, or an ear open, I guess, to hear if he is a game-time decision, because he was going into last night as a game-time decision, had a hurt back, and of course, everything ended up being okay in the end. I would just keep your eyes open, your ears peeled for that. Make sure you don't get screwed over by him sitting. And if he were to sit, you know, you basically would have to play guys like Trevor Ariza and Patrick Beverley, who are already players that should probably be in strong consideration tonight, simply because they fit that bill of, you know, players that have a lot of upside but aren't going to break the bank. So these smaller slates, you generally have to make a more balanced roster anyway, and that makes it difficult to, you know, really invest heavily in some of these big names, despite the fact that Thursday night, generally a night where the biggest names in the business are playing. As far as value plays on the Sacramento Kings are concerned, you can look at Jason Thompson, Ben McLemore. Those are two players that you'll probably find in a lot of lineups tonight. And overall, there's just going to be a heavy amount of overlap in lineups. That's one of the reasons I stay away from Thursday nights. And I actually advise everyone else that if you're going to play, scale back your volume considerably. It's very easy to be locked out of the money by not taking that one player who does well that a lot of other people have. And it's just not a, it's not a lot of fun to play a Thursday slate, frankly. So, you know, play your tournaments, play a little bit of cash if you want, but scale back your volume considerably. There's no reason to be, you know, risking much on a night like this. All right, in just a moment, I'm going to be back here with Joe Watson. We're going to be talking some NFL, and that will close out the podcast for us. So, stick around and have some good times for you. All right, everyone, something very special here for you today. You might have seen him in a commercial or two. We got Joe Watson here hanging out with us, one of the newest Rotor Grinders contributors. He has been crushing it with his football content and his football lineups. And spoiler alert, we might actually have a little bit of his NFL brilliance on display a little bit later in the podcast. Joe, how you doing, my friend?
Yeah, Gabriel, I'm doing great. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not doing too shabby, buddy. Not too shabby at all. In fact, I'm sitting here watching the end of the Charlotte-Boston game in NBA, and I'm sincerely rooting for Al Jefferson and Kemba Walker to continue doing Al Jefferson and Kemba Walker things. So I'm pretty stoked right now. I'm feeling up.
Awesome, man. I hope they come through for you tonight.
I hope so, too. They're definitely two of the players I touted the most, so I definitely hope they come through for all of the grinders, all of you that are listening right now. And Joe, the first thing I wanted to ask you about is how did you get involved in this daily fantasy space? Because a lot of people might not you know, realize it yet. They might have read your article on Rotor Grinders, but they might not have put two and two together yet and realized that you are one of the guys from the FanDuel commercial. So just kind of give me your backstory, how you started into daily fantasy, all the way to how you got where you're at right now.
I joined FanDuel 2 years ago in 2012 after hearing a radio, you know, advertisement for it. And I was just a casual player to start early on. You know, I didn't do that great at all when I first started. I really didn't know what I was doing. But, you know, in 2013, I really, you know, worked to hone the craft and, you know, really worked hard at it to formulate the lineups. And it definitely paid off because I hit big in a couple of tournaments last January. You know, during the NFL playoff season. And, you know, after, you know, some of that success, you know, FanDuel wanted me to shoot a commercial for them, and I gladly accepted. And, you know, the rest is kind of history. Now you see these commercials all over the place, and now I'm, you know, writing an article for, you know, after, you know, writing an article for Roto Grinders. It's definitely a dream come true. I never thought I would, you know, be able to do this much in the world of fantasy sports. So I'm really loving every minute of it right now. Just, you know, I love fantasy. It's definitely like you know, that's part of my free time because I do have a full-time job. So this is, you know, all, you know, the, you know, bonus time for me. But it's, you know, it's great. I love every second of it.
Let me ask you, if let's say the winning keeps happening, which I'm assuming it will because I've read your stuff and you are you know, extremely knowledgeable when it comes to the NFL. Let's say the winning keeps happening. It starts happening all year round. Do you ever have any, you know, ambitions of becoming a full-time player, or is that something you want to keep as just a hobby?
I've always thought about it. I discussed it with my wife, and she would rather me not become a full-time player. You know, she would like me to keep my primary job. You know what? I'm not sure how, you know, how I would totally feel about that. You know, having it as a hobby is great. If it was full-time, I'm not sure if I would enjoy it as much. You know, obviously to have more success and more money would be great, you know, with it. But I kind of like having this as my, you know, as my other life, you know, because I do like what I do for a living. So it's nice having, I like to keep a balance. I like that happy medium. So if I can, you know, continue to do both successfully, I'm going to continue to do that.
Yeah, I think that's a good answer. And I think that you hit the nail on the head. There are some nights, you know, well, I don't derive the primary portion of my income from playing, but, you know, I do take some money away from it. And there are some nights where, you know, when it's not just having fun anymore, when your second guy has gone down with an injury or, you know, your best, you know, the player you thought was going to perform best has 3 fouls in the first half or something, it does become a little bit of a grind. So I can definitely respect that that perspective. And it probably makes it a lot more fun to watch the games, too, when you're not really, you don't have your food and your rent on the line as opposed to just some pocket change.
I totally agree with you. I mean, I had some of those nights during the Major League Baseball season where, you know, just a couple of picks really just did not pan out. And, you know, after losing, you know, for 3 or 4 days in a row, I mean, it does get frustrating. And if that's your rent money out there, then, you know, it could just really just take a toll on you, you know, physically and mentally. So for me, I mean, for some people who do it full-time, I mean, more power to you. If you can do this successfully full-time, I mean, I think that's amazing. But, you know, for me, I like having that balance between, you know, between the two.
I think that is an excellent way of looking at it. And also, I think we should be taking a look at your article that you do every week. And you mentioned you're working on it right now, actually, when I gave you a call. So could you just share some insight with all of our listeners and let them know what they can expect each week from the piece that you put up on RotoGrinders?
Well, sure. You know, I outline players that, like, I formulate in both cash game lineups and also tournament lineups. You know, I usually, you know, in the last week's article, you know, at each position, I would give, I think I gave 2 cash game suggestions and 2 GPP suggestions. And I think this week's going to be more of the same. I'm jotting down my notes, you know, after jotting down my notes, I have a couple of each position that I like. I'm going to put the article together and it should be up on the site by Friday. So, you know, most of the picks worked out, you know, pretty well last week, with the exception of, you know, the New Orleans Saints players. You know, it's really, you know, and I had Cam Newton as a GPP play paired up with Kelvin Benjamin, and I thought that they would be playing from behind. I did not think that they would be dominating the game, and the Saints would only put up 10 points. So, I did have Kenny Stills in my cash game lineups, but it didn't hurt me. Because most of the other guys I had in there worked out well, but you know, sometimes things just don't work out the way you like, and you know, that's why it's daily, and we just move on to the next week.
Yeah, I had Josh Gordon as my stud of choice. I actually played him in every single one of my FanDuel cash game lineups. So
when Vontae Davis was declared out, I had the article was already up on the site, and I had Jordy Nelson as my number one wide receiver, and I was really contemplating, wanting to edit the article because I thought Gordon was going to, you know, really have a great game as well. And I did put him in a couple of GPP lineups. I left Jordy in my cash game lineups, and I played more of those, and it worked out. I mean, I don't think any of us expected Gordon to go 2 for 15. That was just really surprising, especially with Vontae Davis being out. So
yeah.
It just, you know, the NFL, sometimes you just can't predict it.
Absolutely. It's especially interesting, and I want to get your take on this. How do you project players? Because, you know, in basketball, it's kind of easy to project it. If I project player X for 32 minutes, then I can guess that, you know, the number of shot attempts and rebounds and everything else he accumulates is going to be, you know, sort of like the rough mean of his season averages, or at least his per-minute averages. And then I just have to apply, you know the matchup to the equation, basically, and bump him up or knock him down a little. But in football, the touchdowns are so random. How do you, when you're building your cash games, figure out who you want to play, who do you think has a better chance at a touchdown, who do you think is a fade this week? How does that kind of work for you?
Well, I tend to look at the over-unders first. I think that's really important, you know, when looking at, you know, the projections that Vegas has. I mean, because Vegas has it down with science. I mean, they really know what they're doing. So a lot of those game totals are going to be very close, you know, to what they're projecting. And then after that, you know, I tend to look at the defensive matchups and, you know, ones that stand out. I mean, you know, this week in particular, I'm targeting, I'm writing up a lot of Steelers players. They're facing the Atlanta Falcons this week, you know, who are last in all defensive numbers. And, you know, they've, you know, pretty much been terrible. I mean, Aaron Rodgers ran over them, you know, on Monday Night Football. So I really try to target the defenses that teams have really been scoring against. And, you know, just try to make it all, you know, hopefully all that the players I want in those matchups, I hope their salary caps fit and formulate it that way. But I would say those are, you know, definitely the two most important factors for me.
Very nice. So that is a little bit about Joe Watson, one of our newest contributors here at RotoGrinders. You can follow him on Twitter at JoeyWatts19. And let me just clarify, that is Watts with one T, not two, because I was actually scrambling around trying to find it with two T's. And kind of like J.J. Watt, that's kind of what I was thinking.
J.J. Watt, wow, what a season he's having. He's amazing.
Real quick, MVP consideration, yes or no?
I think so. I mean, he really is, you know, one of the most dominant, he is the most dominant defensive player in the NFL. I mean, we think of Lawrence Taylor, you know, in the 80s as one of the most dominant defensive players. And, you know, he was definitely an MVP consideration talk. I can't see J.J. Watt winning it, but he should definitely be in consideration. I just think it's Aaron Rodgers who's going to win it this year. He's putting up historic numbers. I think he has 35 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, if I'm not mistaken. And so I really think it's a runaway year for Rodgers.
There you have it, folks. Aaron Rodgers, your future MVP of the 2014 National Football League season. So if you pride yourself a betting man, I would not bet against what Joe is saying here. Maybe you, on a trip to Vegas or something for the Roto Grinders trip later this season, maybe you could put a little bank down on that.
Sure, absolutely.
All right, let's get into something really fun here, which is building a lineup. We're going to build a lineup on air, and this is going to be a specific lineup for a specific tournament, the FFFC that happens this weekend. 100 participants taking on one another, and I think it would be really cool to get your take on, you know, what kind of lineup would you build in this tournament. You know, you're a random person, you're going to the FFFC, you're not really sure how to win this 100-man behemoth. What is the first thing you're looking at? And just break it down play by play and let me know how you'd attack something like this.
Sure. Well, in a tournament like this where it's 100 guys, I mean, you really want to try to, you know, set yourself apart from the crowd if you're trying to win this tournament and win the $2 million. So when doing this lineup, I looked at a couple of different quarterback selections. And, you know, obviously your cash game plays are going to be completely different than your tournament plays. You really want to have lower-owned players in a GPP format. So for this particular tournament, I actually picked Eli Manning for my quarterback in this spot. Earlier this year, I definitely went running it by a few other people. They thought the same thing. But if you remember earlier this year, Eli torched the Washington Redskins for 5 touchdowns. I mean, Washington, you know, was absolutely horrific defending the pass. And Eli really, he absolutely dominated them from start to finish. And the one thing about the Giants, you know, because I live in the New York area, so, you know, I hear a lot of media stuff about them. The Giants and their ownership, they do not like to lose. And even though they're out of it this season, they do not want to lose, especially to the Washington Redskins, who are within their division. So for these games, you know, they really tend to go all out. So, you know, for a GPP selection like this, I mean, obviously, you know, I could have went with, you know, somebody like a Jay Cutler, who I also like, or a Ben Roethlisberger. But I, in a tournament like this, I can't see a lot of people centering on Eli. So I have him in the slot right now.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I think Eli is definitely going to be a quarterback who is, you know, if not less than 5% owned, he'll definitely be right there. So I think that's I think that's an excellent selection. What about that running back? Who are we pairing up here? Because it seems like FanDuel has really tightened up the pricing here towards the second half of the season, especially at running back.
Oh, they really have. I mean, their algorithm is really getting it correct. You know, for me, for one of the running back spots, I'm paying up. And I think this player in this tournament is definitely going to be, you know, probably 40 to 50% owned. So in a 100-person tournament like this, if you don't have him in the lineup, I don't think you could win the $2 million. And I think that person's Le'Veon Bell. I mean, he is having an absolutely historic season. He's the highest-priced running back at 9,600, but he's every bit worth it this week. He's going up against the Atlanta Falcons, who are terrible at defending the run and absolutely have one of the worst defensive units in all of the league. And, I mean, I fully expect him to carve them up completely, because if you watch him run, he's so patient, for one, and then he gets so decisive, and he's absolutely fun to watch. I think he's a great play at 9,600, and I think a lot of the people in this tournament are going to have him, so I have him slotted in there.
No, I think that's a good point, actually, is a lot of times we get too caught up in being cute with every selection that you hear a lot of talk that people will make, you know, well, he's going to be too highly owned. Sometimes taking the player who's going to be highly owned simply because they're just the best play on the board, there's something to be said for that. Would you agree?
I totally agree. And more this year, I mean, in years past, I would always try to, you know, go against the grain and, you know, pick guys that I didn't think anybody would be completely on in the GPP, but not having that guy who's, you know, you pretty much just going to go off like 2 weeks ago. Trey Mason had a great game, and, you know, he was in most of my lineups. I kind of learned my lesson. Maybe in years past, I would not have included a player like that, but his salary was just too good to pass up that week, so he was kind of like a plug and play. But I totally agree with you.
All right. Let's move along to the second running back. Probably going to have to go with a value play here to kind of offset Le'Veon Bell's salary. So what are you thinking?
Absolutely right. This is a value play, and this is also, I guess, a quote-unquote crazy selection. I have Chris Johnson actually slotted in there. You got to listen here. I mean, Johnson, believe it or not, is going up against his former team, the Tennessee Titans, the quote-unquote revenge game. And I know it's another New York player I have in this lineup, but Rex Ryan's on his way out, and he really doesn't care, you know, about, you know, his job anymore. And I really think he's going to really listen to the players and absolutely, you know, go ahead and just feed Chris Johnson this ball, because the Tennessee Titans can't defend anybody either. I mean, they're giving up a lot of yards on the ground. They're giving up a lot of yards through the air as well. And in this price range, by putting Chris Johnson in there, it allowed me to pay up for two receivers that I really like this week. And at $5,300, he really doesn't have to, you know, he really doesn't have to do much to pay off that salary. I mean, he's getting more and more carries every week. I mean, last week he did get 16 carries. He did get a couple of catches through the air, and I know he wants to stick it to the Tennessee Titans. So I'm not sure what his percentage own is going to be in this tournament. I'm not sure. Maybe a lot of the guys would be on him, but if you want to pay up for a couple of receivers, he's definitely the one of the value plays that I do like this week. Only for tournaments, I would never use him in a cash game. He's only a tournament play for me.
So I got to get your take on this. Then, are you a believer in revenge games?
You know, sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not. I mean, earlier this year, there was the quote-unquote Greg Little revenge game, you know, when he came back to Cleveland. Everybody knows, I mean, Greg Little can't even catch a cold. So in cases like that, I'm definitely not a believer in it. But with Chris Johnson, I mean, the way he left Tennessee, I mean, he was very frustrated, I believe, with that ownership. He's not a fan of that organization. I really think, you know, he wants to stick it to them. And I don't think Rex Ryan is going to have a problem feeding him the rock. I mean, we know that the Jets love to run the ball. as they demonstrated a couple of weeks ago against Miami. I mean, I think they ran the ball 45 times and they passed it 12 times. So I think he's going to get a lot of a lot of opportunities in this game, and Chris Ivory as well. But I think this is his quote unquote revenge game, and I'm definitely a believer in it.
Yeah, I think so too. And you mentioned something earlier. You said that Rex Ryan on the way out. I got to ask, because this has kind of been my working theory the entire season. I feel like Rex Ryan gets one more year and Idzik gets the boot.
It's all the media outlets out here. He was a very well-liked guy for the first, I would say, 4 to 5 years of his tenure. But he's been silenced, by Woody Johnson. And another, something else came out that, Idzik had planned to fire him, as soon as the year started, and that he knew it was going to be his last year. I just can't see how he can survive this. I mean, at 2-11. I think the best thing for Woody, who, as a Jet, I am a Jet fan, unfortunately, and
I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's terrible. It really, that's why I love fantasy sports. I mean, can you honestly watch the Jets every week? I mean, with how bad they are? I just can't see Woody, surviving. It would be a bloodbath if he kept either Idzik or Rex, in my opinion. I think he has to clean house, and he has to start over and really build it back up because, I mean, this is one of the more disastrous seasons in recent memory.
Yeah, this is one of the more disastrous seasons of any team in recent memory, not just the Jets. I mean,
they're a train wreck, and they create a lot of this themselves. I mean, Woody's always been the guy who loves the media attention in the offseason, where the other team in this market, the Giants, they sit back and they let the football do the talking. Woody loves to get those back pages. I mean, and he's just a headline type of guy. But I think he needs to create the headlines by just, clearing house this year. Absolutely.
Interesting. That'll be something you and I will have to talk about, next time we see each other, or I guess the first time we see each other in person. My presumption would be you'll probably head out to Vegas for the Grinders party.
Absolutely. If Cam would be more inclined to invite me, I would love to attend. That would be awesome to meet you and meet some of the other writers and other just great DFS players in this industry.
All right, so we're heading on down to wide receiver. There are 3 wide receiver slots, of course, at FanDuel, and you mentioned if we want to pay up for a pair of wide receivers. So give me your heavy hitters. Who are the guys you're looking to, basically anchor the lineup if you're going to pay up for them?
Well, the first guy that I want to pay up for, and I always suggest this in the GPP format, you always want to pair up a wide receiver with your quarterback. So the wide receiver I'm paying up for is Odell Beckham Jr. this week, and I think he's a great pairing with Eli. And if you look at his salary, it's still within reason at $8,500. It did go up $200 this week, but I mean nobody's hotter in the league, than ODB. I mean he's getting a crazy amount of targets every week, and it's just clear that the Giants really just want to feed him in this offense. And I mean, they really don't even care about Reuben Randall anymore. Randall's targets have gone down every week. I think he had 4 last week and 3 the week before. So I think they're trying to fade him out of the offense and just feature ODB. And he's proven to be unstoppable. I mean, there really isn't a defense out there that has been able to stop him. And he gets Washington this week, who they've given up the third most receiving touchdowns in the league this year. And he doesn't have there's no corner on the Redskins that can match up to him. So I think he's a great play in cash games and GPPs.
Yeah, that's kind of a sore spot for me because my thinking this week was I'm paying up for Josh Gordon and Odell Beckham Jr. last week, of course, right around the same price tag. And I said, let everybody else chase the huge Odell Beckham games. I'm going to go with Josh Gordon, same price. And obviously that was a terrible, terrible decision. So,
I mean, I think your logic was right. I mean, with Vontae Davis being out last week, I mean, Josh Gordon really was a great play. I mean, but a lot of stuff has come out since that game that he's not in shape. He's not up to date on the playbook. I mean, we really didn't know about that, coming into this week because he looked very good in the previous 2 weeks. He was putting up the numbers. So I totally agree that Gordon was a great play last week. I happen to focus on Odell Beckham because I mean, Eli is just looking for him constantly.
And why wouldn't you?
Oh, the talent's there. I mean, no one expected this out of Odell Beckham this year. He missed the first five games with an injury, but he's just come on to be just one of the best receivers in the league.
It reminds me of what happened when Victor Cruz first broke into the league, and Eli fell in love with him about midway through the season.
Oh, he did. Yeah, I think he broke onto the scene. I think it was week four, and he put up a couple of monstrous games, and he was just he had one of the best seasons in recent memory. And you know, when Eli clicks with a receiver, I mean, he tends to go to them. I mean, Randall's not getting any targets. Danell's targets have gone down. I mean, I see this as another Odell Beckham week.
All right, moving on to the next wide receiver. Is he going to be someone as widely and popularly owned as Odell Beckham Jr.?
This one I'm not sure about as far as popularity. I really like the play because it's Alshon Jeffrey, who is $100 cheaper than Odell Beckham. With Brandon Marshall being out now, I mean, Jeffrey, I mean, you've seen what he can do in that offense when Marshall went out last week. I mean, he automatically got 8 targets, and I think it was 5 catches out of those 8 targets. I mean, Cutler's really going to hone in on him. You know, a lot of guys are on, you know, I believe it's Marcus Wilson. I don't know what his salary is on this, but I haven't seen enough at it. I haven't seen anything out of him. I know he's a deep threat, and I know Cutler's going to look for him, but I'd rather go with the guy who has a rapport with Cutler and a history with Cutler. And I think Jeffrey's in line for a very big week, and he's facing the New Orleans Saints. And even though Keenan Lewis has proven to be a great corner, I mean, he's really banged up. I mean, Kelvin Benjamin scored on last week, and I think Alshon's a superior athlete than Kelvin. So I really think he's going to put up a big game.
All right, I'm on board for that. And I'm also on board for whoever you like as a value play at wide receiver, because I was having a little bit of difficulty this week just when I was, you know, giving my lineups a cursory glance. Who's the cheap play that's going to take home the cast this weekend?
Well, he's a cheap play right now, and I'm not – this really – this value hinges on another receiver being out. I have Dante Moncrief slotted in this spot, and it hinges on the health of Reggie Wayne. Earlier this year when Reggie Wayne was inactive, Dante Moncrief, he had 10 targets, 7 catches, and 113 yards, you know, in Andrew Luck's offense. And if Reggie Wayne is out this week, I mean, he becomes a plug and play. Him and T.Y. are, you know, big threats in that offense, and Luck is definitely going to look for him. I haven't heard anything else about Reggie Wayne right now. I don't know if he's coming back. The last I heard was, you know, his torn tricep or his tricep situation may shut him down. Pagano's been noncommittal, but I think he's a great play if Reggie Wayne is out. But I think we have to wait a couple more days on that.
Yeah, I think Reggie Wayne. I think this may be the last we have seen of him in a Colts uniform, maybe in the NFL. Do you think that's too bold of a statement?
No, I mean, looking at Reggie Wayne over the years, I mean, the guy seems to be one of the most competitive people. So if he's healthy, he's not going to want to hang it up. I think it's in the best interest of the Colts offense if he does hang it up. I mean, Luck is really, you know, just he's looking for Wayne, but Wayne's really not doing much with the target he's getting. He doesn't really run after the catch. He's just kind of a chain mover, and he lacks the speed now at 36 years old.
Yeah.
If it was his last year, I really wouldn't be surprised. I mean, he's had a great career, one of the best receivers this league has ever seen. But I think it's in the best interest of the Colts offense if he does hang it up, because Moncrief, you know, can easily fill those shoes. He really is a great talent.
I think so as well. And I think Moncrief is going to be pretty highly owned this week. What do you think?
If Wayne's out, he will. I think he will be highly owned in cash games and tournaments. And he's, you know, maybe another one of those guys that, you know, if he does hit in this 100-person tournament, you don't have him, then you're probably not going to place in the top 20. But I was looking below Moncrief. I mean, you see anybody that, you know, is of value? I mean, I'm looking at guys like Kamar Aiken, who, you know, he's a lottery pick. You know, guys like Cecil Shorts, who hasn't done anything. Lewis Murphy, who I really don't want any part of. But, I mean, there really isn't a lot of value really even below the 6K mark on FanDuel.
Yeah, and like you said earlier, they've just done a phenomenal job of tightening their algorithm this year.
They really have. I mean, I guess the one guy who I'm looking at his price right now, Marcus Wilson, the receiver is going to take Marshall's spot. He's $4,500. I expect him to be highly owned as well if people aren't going with Alshon Jeffrey, and maybe they're paying up for one of the other receivers. You know, maybe if you're not going to use Montrez, maybe use T.Y. Hilton in that spot, or pay up for Antonio Brown if you're not going to use Le'Veon Bell. I really like Moncrief right now, especially if Wayne sits. And you're right about that algorithm. It really tightened it up this year.
All right. Well, that rounds out the wide receiver position. Now we're looking at tight end. And, of course, this, in my opinion, more than any other position, is going to be the one that wins somebody the championship. And to be quite honest with you, I've had terrible – I don't want to call it luck, but I've had a terrible time trying to figure out exactly who is going to put up the big tight end week this season. I don't know if you've had much better success. I want to know who is it that's going to come in and just have one of these monster outings and give somebody the trophy this week.
Oh, Gabe, you couldn't have said any better. Tight end's been the most frustrating position in season-long and daily weeks. I mean, it's a horrific position.
Yeah.
I mean, every week it's, guys putting up bagels or, just guys going off that you don't expect. But I'm holding in on, one of my favorites preseason, for season-long leagues. It's Travis Kelce, who's been a very, very frustrating, tight end to own in the Andy Reid offense, because Andy Reid, for whatever reason, just continues to, feature guys like Frankie Hammond and Junior Hemingway. Just awful. A.J. Jenkins for a while. I mean, it really sounds like a pathetic lounge singer act, when you look at it.
Yeah.
But, it really, and then, of course, you got Anthony Fasano vulturing, potential Kelce touchdowns. But last week was very positive, and so was the week before. I featured him in my article last week because he did see over 80% of the snaps. And he really delivered in the tight end friendly matchup against Arizona. He put up 119 yards. He had, I think it was 10 targets, 7 catches. That fumble at the end of the game, very controversial. I mean, I really didn't think it was a fumble, but, us DFSers, we care about the stats. And he went, 7 for 119 out of a very tough position to figure out. And at $5,400, I think he, can definitely have a big game against Oakland. I think earlier this year he went 4 for 69 against them, but Alex Smith played terribly.
Yeah.
But if KC, I know they're a run-heavy offense with Jamaal Charles some weeks, but he's a little banged up as well. I could see Kelce getting the targets this week. Do you agree?
I mean, let me say this. I'm not going to disagree with you because, there's nothing to disagree with. I mean, Travis Kelce is a phenomenal talent. The measurables are right up there with Rob Gronkowski. My problem is and will continue to be who his head coach is. And the fact that they seem hell-bent on underutilizing their best talent every single week. I can't tell you how frustrated I've been at times to watch Jamaal Charles go off with 8 carries and just have him be an afterthought in the rushing game. Or, Travis Kelce, be your best threat in a passing game that doesn't get anything out of its wide receivers and cede his playing time to Anthony Fasano. I don't even know what to say at this point. Like, I agree with you. He is a phenomenal – at that price point, there's nobody else who can touch his talent. I mean, do you think that that Andy Reid's going to give him the opportunity, though?
You know what? It's definitely a dark row. I mean, every week, we're hoping because, we see him as an emerging tight end with a lot of talent. I mean, he's mini Gronk. I mean, people are calling him.
Yeah.
I mean, in a tournament like this, I mean, you're hoping for that breakout game. You're hoping, for that, that 7 catch, 120 yard, 2 touchdown game from him that we haven't seen yet. It's definitely a gamble. I mean, I can't use him in a cash game still. He's definitely a tournament throw. I'm looking at some other guys. If you want to pivot down from him, you could look at a guy like Delanie Walker, who, I believe they're going to get Jake Locker back this week, and he's got a great rapport with Locker. And the Jets are very tight end friendly. The Jets give up a lot of touchdowns to the tight end position. So if Kelce's too frustrating for you, I mean, you could roll with a guy like Delanie Walker. And I've heard a lot of guys on Dwayne Allen this week. I mean, he did nothing last week. He went 1 for 5, I believe. And Kobe Fleener's in the mix now. I mean, do you like Dwayne Allen? I'm not a big fan of him this week. I just wanted to get somebody else.
I feel like Kobe Fleener played well enough in Dwayne Allen's absence that he solidified his market share of the snaps and the targets. So whereas before it was really Dwayne Allen sort of trumping over Kobe Fleener, I feel like now it's going to be, you know, a lot more of an equally distributed workload, which is definitely not what I'm looking for in a tournament.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the best you can hope out of Dwayne Allen, I mean, if, you know, maybe he's going to get, you know, 4 targets for, you know, 2 or 3 catches for 43 yards, but maybe one of them happens to be a red zone touchdown. We just can't predict that. It's just way too fickle. I mean, I'd rather go with the guy with the upside. I think that's Kelce or a guy like Walker this week. There are some more expensive tight ends, you know, but if, you know, with the roster I constructed, unless I pay down for one of those receivers, I can't get a guy like Gronk or, dare I say, Jimmy Graham, who, if you're looking to pay down one of the other receivers and you want to play Jimmy Graham, I mean, it's a great week to play him. I mean, Chicago is terrible at defending the tight end as well, but, you know, if you really want to be frustrated for another week, what's your take on Jimmy Graham's season? Is his shoulder still bothering him? I can't figure it out.
It has to be the shoulder. There's no reason why. There's no logical explanation for why Drew Brees would basically be, you know, ignoring him, for lack of a better word, in these high-scoring shootouts, other than, you know, the guy just can't you know, bring himself physically to perform at the level he needs to perform at. I'll tell you what worries me a little bit is that maybe there's an injury that requires some surgery, and he realizes that if he has the surgery, he's going to be out for the entirety of the season. So maybe it's just one of those things where, you know, he's just going to play through it and see if this team can get anywhere with him being a decoy, maybe catching the occasional pass. I just don't think he's healthy. I'm with you. There's no way he could possibly be healthy and performing at this level.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, when have we ever seen a game where Jimmy Graham didn't get a target? I mean, let alone a catch. I mean, so you're right. So he has to be in decoy mode. I mean, this reminds me of last year when Roddy White, in the beginning of the season, was just primarily used as a decoy and, you know, finally had to sit out a couple of games. I mean, I think something's going to come out. I mean, if it is the shoulder, I could definitely, you know, see them, you know, shutting him down the rest of the year, because this is not a Jimmy Graham season that we're used to seeing.
Absolutely not. Now, I was going to troll you, actually, and ask how you determine your kicker each week, and if you could give us some in-depth kicker analysis. You probably do have a methodology that you use, but I'm sure it's far from exact science. So just tell me real quick, is there anything in a tournament this size that you're looking to find in a kicker that sort of differentiates one kicker from the others?
I thank you for your compliment, but I wish I had an exact science or an algorithm for kickers. I don't. The one thing I do look at, though, is I do look at some over-unders, but I tend to pay down for my kicker, whether it's in GPPs or tournaments. I mean, there's been some weeks you see minimum kickers like Cairo Santos who put up the 10 points. I mean, and for the most part, you're not going to see a kicker, you know, priced above 5K that's going to put up more than 10 points. But I tend to save at the position in both formats. I did happen to fit Connor Barth in here at 4,700 because I had the salary. I mean, he's been pretty accurate this year. He hasn't missed a field goal. And in this Peyton offense, you know, they've constantly been in the red zone, so if they're not scoring touchdowns, they're going to get an opportunity. So Barth is the guy I have penciled in here, but as far as the science, I still haven't figured out anything for kickers yet.
What about defense? Defense probably a little more of a strategy behind it.
Yeah, you know, I looked at a lot of the lower positions, you know, because I try not to, you know, if I don't have to pay up for a defense, I won't. But a lot of the options at 4,500 and 4,600, I mean, are really terrible. They all have bad matchups. I mean, you obviously don't want any part of the Saints or the Bears or the Jaguars. But I did find somebody under 5K who I do like. I have the Kansas City Chiefs penciled in here. I know they were terrible against the Raiders a couple of weeks ago when Latavius Murray just ran all over them. But, I mean, I really don't think much of Derek Carr. I mean, I think you could see, you know, a potential for a, you know, interception here, return for a touchdown. And they're definitely the best option under 5K. I mean, if you're looking to pay up, I mean, you obviously could, you know, go with the Rams or the Seahawks, who have really been performing at a high level, but they're priced pretty high. So under 5K, you know, I do like the Chiefs this week.
All right, the Chiefs. I'm going to have to remember that one as well. I always have a – you know, you mentioned earlier that for basketball, you tend to lean heavily on some of the folks here at Roto Grinders to deliver that basketball content. I'm the same way with football. Football is not my primary sport, so I'm jotting down some notes as we're talking now. I'm going to stash away a couple players for later.
I hope they pay off for you. I mean, that'll be the. I would not want anybody I recommend to just be terrible for you. So I hope some of these guys do pay off.
All right. Well, Joe, thank you so much for not only joining us here today. I didn't want to back you into a corner because I didn't know what kind of time you had, but really appreciate the length of discussion that you gave here. I feel like all of us came away from this a lot more enriched about you know, not only DFS but a couple of general football. You know, talk radio topics as well. And I just want to remind everybody that you can read Joe's article. When is that actually going up exactly?
I should have it done by tomorrow night, and it should be up on the site, I would say, by the latest Friday afternoon. So definitely check that out.
Okay.
And I also wanted to say, I mean, thank you for having me on, Gaby. I mean, I really, you know, appreciate, you know, somebody, you know, wanting to hear, you know, my take on, you know, some, you know, DFS and, you know, other things about football. So it's really an honor, you know, to be, you know, featured on your show, and I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, my friend. Tons of fun here. And remember, you can follow Joe at JoeyWatts19 on Twitter. That is at JoeyWatts19 on Twitter. One T, not two T's like J.J. Watt. That's how I got confused at the beginning as well. So, Joe, we will certainly have you on again here in the future, and best of luck in all of your contests this weekend, my friend.
Thanks a lot, David. Good luck to you in all your contests, and I look forward to being on again with you.
Cool. Take care.